This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeff Bliss's Pacific Watch. And we've been watching very carefully the fire moving, threatening Brentwood and Encino, and starting up again in the Pacific Palisades, which is where it started. It's the largest area. Now we turn to the politics, and I start at the top. By that, I mean the President of the United States saying as long as it takes. And, Jeff, you noted in your report of 24 hours past that California scratched its head when it heard the president say, as long as it takes, and then proposed to advance paying for people's salaries and whatnot for the next 6 months in order to help them either rebuild or relocate. And the people of North Carolina heard that harshly. Why so, Jeff?
Well, here we are 6 months out from the hurricane damage in the Carolinas and Appalachian areas, southern Appalachia. And some of them are still living in tents, or they're being told by the federal government that they can't live in tents anymore. They have to find some other shelter. You know, there was always that that $750 check they got from FEMA that really stuck in the craw of a lot of people. And here you have this very blue set of enclaves in California being told, don't worry, we'll take care of you 100%. And so it leaves the people on the east saying, aren't we Americans too? Don't we deserve the same kind of treatment? And there seems to be a lot of things going back and forth about, you know, special treatment for people that are more Democrat than others.
California is going to need everything that the federal government can provide over this next year or more. So we go immediately to the reigning politician in California, that is Gavin Newsom. And he has survived recall. He's been elected twice. He's very popular, at least he has been very popular, as a Democratic contender for the presidency in 28. Right now, the questions are being raised about how he prepared for this catastrophe. It is something that has never been seen at this scale, but fire, wind, snow, drought, Mediterranean climate, and mudslides, that's natural California cycle. When there were not 40 million people in the state, that followed the same cycle. However, these days there are some questions raised about have we adjusted accordingly, not just to climate change, but to the natural cycle of our state. What I understand from you, Jeff, is that the conditions have been very dry in Southern California. And that's not unheard of. That's not that unusual. We went through a drought a couple of years ago where I think it got down to lawn police, the Colorado River plunging, and the reservoirs were empty. I remember boats sitting at the bottom of reservoirs, pleasure boats. So dry conditions are not unusual. So the Santa Ana wind exists, maybe not 100 miles per hour, but certainly at this time of year. And at the same time, the preparation for fires have to be in check, at hand. What is the general opinion on TV and radio now? I know there are going to be hearings about this. There'll be a lot of investigations. What's the general opinion? Was Sacramento prepared for what we're seeing now?
The general opinion seems to be that Sacramento was neither prepared nor willing to prepare for something like what we've experienced this past week. And there are a number of things coming out, a number of leaked documents and other pieces of evidence that show that money was diverted away from things like firefighting and fire prevention and turned to pet projects. And we see that not just the state, but also at the local level. And so that's what people are really upset about now. They're saying, why did we, you know, put it on this social program when your first responsibility is as a governmental agency is to protect us, not to enlighten us or to build our culture up. It's to protect us first, and then if there's money left over, we'll use it for other things. And so you have a lot of the politicians, including the governor and the mayor of LA, scrambling, saying, no, we didn't do that. You're reading that wrong. but they have, as they say, the receipts. They have the proof showing that letters went out, and you know, documents and memos and explanations to the legislature saying, this is why I'm going to veto this much out of the take this much out of the budget, or this is why I won't consider your request, or this is why I'm diverting money to some other program. And so that's what's got a lot of people upset, saying, really, you took money to, or you know, there's even an aspect. Say, for example, in L.A., where they sent firefighting equipment to Ukraine. So, of course, it has that element to it too. And while the folks in Ukraine could have definitely used this firefighting equipment, people at home are saying, we need to take care of our own things first. We need to take care of our safety. And so that's what has a lot of people scratching their heads or very angry or even saying, you know what, I used to vote one way. I'm voting the other way now.
I saw a video that I did not understand. It was what appeared to be a Zoom call between Mr. Biden in Washington, I believe, but I'm not sure. He might have been in Delaware, speaking with Governor Newsom. And the topic was misinformation, but I didn't understand why. What was the theme for them?
The overall theme of the meeting was to try to help the president understand why we needed federal aid and how the government could step in to help California, between now and then. But it also turned into a woe is me type of session, where you had on one hand the governor saying they just don't understand, this is all misinformation. You know, we had everything ready to go and fully funded, and the president seeming, you know, to be off track, saying, well, you know, it's that water pressure didn't happen, or there was a problem with water pressure, that's not your problem. And so it was just, you know, there's been a number of press conferences and press opportunities that the governor's had, where it's turned from more from, you know, we're going to help these people, and this is the solution we're mapping out, to, you know, woe is me, don't pick on me, it's not my fault. There was one interview, in fact, where he was in the Pacific Palisades area, and he when they asked him about the water problem and about the delivery and the hydrants being dry, he essentially threw up his arms and said, hey, it's not my problem, that's not my job. And the truth is, that really isn't his job. But that's not what a leader does in a time of crisis. They don't go, hey, that's somebody else's business. You know, that's their fault. So those are the types of things that are coming back to point at Gavin Newsom and causing a lot of people to be angry with him.
I'm not easily familiar with Gavin Newsom's style. Is this recognizable? It's not my problem. I know for years you've told me he does a word salad and you can find lots of meanings in it. But not my problem doesn't sound like a word salad. It sounds like blame shifting.
And that's what it has been. I mean, again, back to that Zoom call he did with President Biden, it was more about blame shifting than it was about, you know, this is horrible and you've got to do everything you can in your powers as the president to help us with this calamity. And so that's, you know, this has been kind of an ongoing situation with the California leaders and the area leaders this past week. They got caught flat-footed, or they made bad decisions, or, you know, they're thinking about their political lives first, and it's coming back to bite them. There's been no upsides to any of the political leaders. Instead, it's been people like Rick Caruso, who ran for mayor and was beaten by Karen Bass. He's a guy that had experience with the LA fire and police commissions, and he had been warning about this type of situation for several years before he even ran for mayor. And, you know, he's emerging now as somebody that, you know, as a leader, somebody saying, we know how to take care of this. We could have taken care of this. And people believe that he might eventually be somebody considered for governor because he's so smart and so sharp, and he was so prescient about what was happening.
And his mall didn't burn in the Pacific Palisades, at least not yet anyway.
That's right. And just to kind of help people understand who he is, Rick Caruso is a very well-known, respected, and actually beloved developer in Southern California. He has a number of high-end malls and shopping centers throughout Southern California, and they all typically lend they all bring something great to their communities. Everybody loves these places, and he's a very big in philanthropy. He's done a lot of work with schools and really supports firefighters and police. And he's been pretty supportive of Karen Bass trying to be the good loser since she beat him in that election a while back. But he really said, you know, I can't keep this in anymore. This is ridiculous that they let it get to this point. It's not that they didn't know that it was going to happen. I told them and other people told them. And he's done a number of big things since then throughout the week in terms of making statements. But maybe the biggest statement he made was that his mall, his shopping center in Pacific Palisades, did not burn. Number one, it was built with all the right materials. Number two, it was, you know, vegetation was cleared back the right amount. And number three, he even brought in his own private firefighting company to save it. So people are thinking, wow, this guy is kind of smart. I guess we missed out.
About the mayor, I understand there are press conferences to record. I've not seen them. But the puzzle is the fire chief, whose name I do not have, made a statement 24 hours ago to the media that this was a failure of leadership and that many requests have been made to supplement, to augment, to sustain the fire department budget. They're short of manpower, they're short of money, they're short of equipment. A lot of equipment is in repair shops because they're not adequate machinists or mechanics. All of that was very well presented in a grim voice by the fire chief. And then there was information that the fire chief had been fired, which was hard to believe. And then there was information from the mayor's office that the fire chief had not been fired. And now there's information that the fire chief appears next to the mayor in a press conference. What the fire chief said sounded very well informed and accurate. Has the mayor responded to the idea that the fire department was not adequately prepared by the budget of the city?
No, because that points directly back at her. She's either denied it or has gone cold on it, won't respond to it. So she's trying to move the discussion, the topic along to something else, really. Actually, this morning she's doing a better job at it. She seems better prepared. She's more energetic, and she seems to be more engaged. But it's going to be those images of what happened in the first days of, you know, when she was coming back from a junket to Ghana. I think that are going to stick to her or her reputation. It's just, you know, everybody has really lost confidence. I have to say that I can't find many people standing up for Karen Bass. There may be people standing up for Gavin elsewhere in the state. It's a big state. But here in Southern California, Bass has lost all they've lost all confidence in Bass, and a good number of people have lost confidence in Gavin Newsom as well.
There's L.A. County, and then there's L.A. the town. Both have different police forces. The reason I bring that up is because there are signs, there are anecdotal signs that looting is underway. We talked about it yesterday. One person had been detained from Chile, which seemed very odd, suggesting that there were gangs coming from way outside into the Los Angeles County or Los Angeles City. Are there arrests being made? Yes, but question of looting. The reason I think about it is not the burned down areas. It's the areas where the evacuation has been ordered. Jeff, are you allowed? Is there talk about people going back to protect their homes from looters, armed protection, because there are not enough police? Have they talked about that on the television?
If people live in a restricted zone and they were moved out because of evacuation orders, they're not going to get back. It's a rare case when they do. There have been people breaking through the lines, both people who are residents as well as people who are suspected looters. And, you know, the sheriff and the new DA and the chief of police or those deputies have all said, look, we're going to take this very seriously. We're not going to cite and release you. We are going to book you. And so they've done that with probably at least a couple dozen suspects so far. And as you pointed out, there's been there seems to point to these organized crime gangs, including ones international gangs that we've had problems with over the past couple of years with, you know, retail theft and with home robberies. That come from particularly places like Chile and Guatemala and Venezuela. The Chilean gangs seem to pop up again and again when they talk about this. So it is a problem. It's something they're very worried about. They did call in the California National Guard a couple days ago, and they've been pretty good at setting up roadblocks. So apparently those are pretty effective. I've heard from some other journalists who have said that even when they are moving through these zones with their credentials and the press badges on their cars, they get stopped repeatedly again, and, you know, by the National Guard and police officials who want to see their IDs. So, you know, this is going to be a problem for weeks to come as these fire zones are people go through them and try to rebuild their lives, find out what's still there.
And about the power, various reports of power outages in different parts of California. And the question is, who's without power? Who's without the internet? Who's without telephones? Is there a way to characterize that for the LA County?
Power is slowly but surely being restored to key areas, but in the actual fire zones themselves, that's not happening because they can't get crews in there. It's too dangerous and it's too congested. But in outlying areas, for example, I mentioned my in-laws who live out in the Inland Empire, which is Riverside County. It took them several days to get their power restored, and they're not alone in that. This is just the nature of our power grid and the fact that you have high winds blowing. It's not just the fires that have taken down power and transmission lines, but also the fact that power companies have shut them down so that they don't, you know, energize lines aren't swinging in the wind and perhaps starting other brush fires.
Are the iPhones still working on the towers?
They are. They are. The towers, for the most part, are still up. There's still communication through that way.
So what you need is a power source to recharge your iPhone, and such things exist. Were people well prepared for this without the 100-mile-per-hour winds? Were people prepared individually for power outages, for internet being down, for evacuations? Or do you get the sense, Jeff, that this was not a thought when you moved to California and when you've lived here for decades? This is not going to happen.
I think everybody knows outages are going to happen from time to time, whether it's winds or fires or earthquakes. But a lot of people just kind of put it off in the back of their minds. They think, well, it's not going to happen to me, or if it does happen, I'll be okay. Yeah, you know, the simplest power outages, for example, we reported on one that I had in my town a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this on the show, and everybody was up in arms walking around the neighborhoods. It was like a Twilight Zone episode where they're wondering, you know, is this the end of the earth almost? That's the feeling you get from them, because they had no idea that their whole life could be cut off in a moment when the power goes out and they don't have internet, they don't have TV or anything. So, yeah, it's when people move here, I don't think they think about it, but when people live here, even people who've lived there their whole lives, they kind of tend to put it in the back of their minds and don't a lot of them really don't do a lot of good planning.
And the weather, meteorology for the next days, what's the prospect, Jeff?
We're going to be looking at continued warmer temperatures, sunny skies. It'll be fairly clear. There's a problem with the humidity dropping. That's always a key problem or element in big fires like this, is when the humidity drops. But the winds, that's the big problem, and they do think they're going to have winds over the next 24 to 48 hours that could rekindle some of these fires or spread, you know, further spread the big ones. Like this one that's out in the valley, out near Encino now, if the wind changes and it picks up, wow, we could be off to the races in a very bad way.
What's on the other side of Ventura Boulevard? Are there more homes over there?
Oh, homes and businesses. There are more than a million people that live out in that part of, you know, the valley. It's very congested. And I'm not saying that it would tear through that whole area like it did the Palisades, where it's, you know, there's more vegetation. But there's still plenty of vegetation out there and a lot of structures that can burn. So that's why they're really putting so many resources on that fire line, that part of the Palisades fire, because it's almost, you know, if it gets to one part, if it gets down the hill much farther, it'll turn into, you know, an Alamo kind of fight. They'll have to really put everything there and make a last stand.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.